Good evening. I will do my best not to mumble because I supposedly have that problem. I will try not to mumble. As we begin our continuing our topic, morality in the Messiah's way, my topic is, it's moral to work hard and provide for your family. I wanted to say yes, yes, and yes, and sit down, but we got a lot more time than that. So what I did was I broke it down. And so the first thing I want to look at is moral, the word moral. And in the dictionary, it says it's the principles of right or wrong behavior, the goodness or badness of human character. Another definition is holding or manifesting high principles for proper conduct, or a person's standards of behavior or beliefs concerning what is and is not acceptable for them to do. And, you know, in today's world, everybody's standards are different. What is acceptable is different. When I was a head track coach and I went over my rules, one of my main rules was use acceptable language at all time. And I had to define what was acceptable, because I've dealt with athletes that it was very acceptable to use foul language at home. I told them that's not acceptable. So what does it mean to be moral? That's a question. Anybody can answer. Brother Royce?
Well, to be moral means that, especially to a Christian, is that we accept the standards that God has given us overridingly in how to live our lives in harmony with His will.
Okay. I wrote here, relating the standards of good behavior, honesty, fair dealings, or showing high standards. If you go to a restaurant, do you want to go to a restaurant that has 5 stars or 2.3 stars? Which restaurant would you rather go to? 5 stars, because you know it has higher standard. Usually the service is going to be better, and the food may be a lot better also. As I looked at what is standards, it's a level of quality, an idea or thing used as a measure, something that was set up or established by authority. And when I think about standards and authority, I think about God's word. It should be our only standard for truth, not what the world says or anybody else's. God's word is our standard for truth, and that's the bottom line. That's the end of it. And as we read in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed, meaning standards, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we got to make sure that we are studying God's word daily, searching those scriptures so that we can meet His standards and not the standards of the world. Any comments? The next word, which we'll spend a little bit more time on, is work. Okay? Work. To perform work or fulfill duties regularly for wages or salary. So how are we to work? Let's look at Philippians 2:14-16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I've been guilty of complaining at work. Maybe all of us have. Being a coach, we hear a lot of complaining. A lot. But, you know, I had a young coach, and he was complaining every day. And finally he came in, and I said, man, I got a fix. You're not going to be able to complain anymore. And he goes, well, what'd you do? And I said, very simple. I said, here's a bunch of new jobs that are listed. You know, go find you a new job. When it comes to track, I'll go out there, and of course the kids are always wondering, what are we running today? And I said, you're going to run 4 200s today. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do that and everything. And I said, okay, we don't have to do that. You got six, okay? They become quick learners, especially the younger ones. When they come, they say, hey, don't ask him what we're running today. Just shut up and run. Matter of fact, I have a shirt that says "Shut Up and Run" that a kid gave to me, and it's that simple, you know. We get out there and go to work. It's pretty simple. Another definition was to exert oneself physically or mentally, especially in sustained effort for purpose or necessity. Okay. Body language says a lot. I can tell kids real easy when they're working and when they're not working, just by their body language. And I think that goes the same for us. I don't think that Royce or Brother Tobias would like to get up here and preach, and right when he gets up there, everybody just kind of slumps down like, oh, here we go again. You know, that's not going to get him very fired up. I tell my athletes every day, you can fake a lot of things in life, but you can't fake a work ethic. We can't fake a work ethic. I tell my football players, you work for a cause, not for applause. And I use a lot of quotes when I'm coaching my kids because a lot of it, you know, it sticks in them and they remember that for quite a while. Another definition we look at is to perform or carry through a task requiring sustained effort or continuous repeated operations. I think we've all have heard the phrase no pain, no gain, and you know, the athletes, okay, they probably heard that quite a bit. You know, you've got to put in the work to get the gains. And Brother Mike touched on this a while back in Nehemiah 4:6, the latter part of that, when they were building the wall, okay. It says, for the people had a mind to work. It's a want to. Okay? It's a want to. You got to want to work. When we got our new athletic director last year, he brought this phrase with him that we use a lot with our coaches and our athletes. And it goes like this. If you're juiceless, you're useless. And that can be carried on, you know, in the classroom, our job and all that stuff. You got to bring the juice. You got to bring the juice. And, you know, my wife and I have been talking about how blessed we are here to have so many men that can get up there and bring God's word. And they bring the juice. They bring the juice. And we're very thankful for that. When you're working, I mean, we're going to have good days. We're going to have bad days. But you still got to bring the juice. You still got to bring the juice. And in Job, if you'll turn to Job 14:15. Latter part of that verse, it says, you shall desire the work of your hands. Again, it's a wanting. When I'm doing my construction, one of my favorite parts of construction is framing, because it goes up pretty quick, and at the end of the day, you know, you got 4, 5, 6 walls, whatever, framed up, and you feel an accomplishment, you know. And I love framing. Now, I hate painting, and I hate insulation. If Josh Jennings was here, he worked with me some, and so I divvy that to him a lot, the painting part and especially the insulation, because, you know, I go home, you itch for 2 or 3 days. Those are things that got to get done. Those are things that, even though we don't want to do them, you know, there's things at work a lot of times that we don't want to do them. As a teacher or as a coach, you know, there's a lot of parent conferences that we look forward to, and then there's some that we don't. You know, I knew a coach that he started out his parent conferences. He said, all right, before we get started, I want to let you know I'm just trying to correct what you didn't teach. And a lot of his conferences ended pretty quick. I said, like, let's go. We're not going to get anywhere with him because, you know, you raised this child. All we're trying to do is correct it. You know, and like I said, a lot of times his conferences were cut pretty short, you know. So in today's world, let's look at Psalms 111 first. Psalms 111, verses 3. I'm trying not to go too fast because I didn't know how long this would take. I apologize. Talking about God's work. It's honorable and glorious, the first part of that. And so when we work, should our work be honorable and glorious? Because we're representing God. And so ours should be also. In my profession and in today's world, we deal a lot with entitlement. Everybody's entitled. Everybody's entitled. You know, it's pretty simple. I'll go back to track. I'm sorry. I was a head track coach for 28 years. In the sport of track, there's 17 events. And if you add the extra 3 events for the relays, you got 60 spots. And one of the first things I tell my athletes, it's junior high boys, junior high girls and everything, you have to earn your spot. And once you earn it, you got to keep it for the next 5 or 6 weeks, whether it's on a relay or whatever. So it creates competitiveness. And they have to work harder and harder each day, which makes the team more successful at the end of what we're trying to accomplish. And so, you know, I did have a parent was complaining about, she said, I look, there's 17 spots. Yes, ma'am. There's 17 events, there's 60 spots. Yes, ma'am. Well, so-and-so's in this. So-and-so said, why is my, you know, daughter not in this? I said, because they were told at the beginning of the year, I'm going to put the 3 fastest ones in each event, and they can be in 5 events or they can be in 1 event. Okay, best thing I like about my sport is the stopwatch does not lie, or the tape measure. It's right there. So if you want that spot, you got to work for it. You know, if there's things, you know, if we're looking to have that promotion, okay, work for it. Go work for it. You know, be one of those, and I learned from an early age, and I learned with the guy I coach with now. Between the both of us, we're going to have 78 years of experience next year. So we have a little bit of experience. But instead of being told what to do, and if you see something that needs to be done, go get it done. Because they'll see that. So, man, I never have to tell him or her what to go do. Man, they're always a step ahead of me. And that's you know, the guy I work with, I always try to be a step ahead of him. And so when it comes to work, you know, we read earlier 2 Corinthians 9:6 and Galatians 6:7. You know, you're going to reap what you sow. If you don't work very hard, Brother Nikolai, you're in track. You got to work hard all the time, right? We cannot work, especially, I apologize, being the track coach. You know, you're going to get what you get put into it. And one thing I love about track, it's so much like the real world. You're not going to get any more than out of it than you put into it. And so they have to constantly work to get. You can't go, I always tell them about emptying your tank. If you empty your tank every day in practice, when it gets ready for your track meet, you're going to have a full tank. You got to have a full tank. If we're emptying our tank every day at our jobs and working hard, those promotions are going to come, or those raises are going to come. So turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Yes.
Before you get off track, for those watching the trial right now, there's two kids. There's a man made their head like a kid, one's 15, one's 16. And if you were to talk to them, I guarantee you they'll say they put in a lot of work to be where they're at. And it made me think about how much work I'm putting into my Bible studies, how much work I'm putting into my worship when we're gathered together, different things. And I guarantee you that those kids are not expecting the results they're having without doing the work. And I can't expect to have magnificent results without doing the work. And in this society that we're in, man, we will make our kids work for the sport. I guarantee you, they'll work at home when they're not succeeding in sport. But what about church, what about the Bible? We had the attitude of that those two young kids in the work ethic they have towards the Bible. Think about how many people would hear the word in San Angelo, you know, from us.
Yes.
And I found a passage in Psalm 37, and in verse 5, it starts, or verse 3 even, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. That's an action right there. Two of them. Trusting and doing. And then verse 4, delight in yourself, also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness and the light and your justice at noonday. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass and cease from anger. Do not fret. If we were to focus, like the psalmist here is saying, to do to the Lord first, God's going to give us everything.
Yes. Yes.
And we'll succeed. Just like those kids are succeeding at the professional level, the 15-year-old and the 16-year-old. God gave them those abilities.
Right.
They put in the work to do it.
Correct. Great comment. Thank you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in the disorderly manner, not working at all, but our busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And there's going to be days that are tough. We got to continue to do good. When my daughter got married in Costa Rica, she had a destination wedding, and we thought that was nuts. But we went. And one thing I found out very interesting that our guide told us there, that they get free medical and free dental, but you have to work. And I can't remember what the percentage they said that they took out of the thing, but they get free medical and free dental, but you have to work. If you don't work, you don't get free medical and free dental. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And so he said, so I work. You know, so I thought that was, you know, a pretty neat. No. You know, a lot of jobs are out there are tough. You know, and a lot of them are very physically and mentally. I have a brother that worked concrete for a long time. I don't like wearing shirts like this around him because he always wants to do this, and it's like 60 grit sandpaper running across your shirt. Okay? And it's tough, but he's quote retired, but still does a lot of concrete jobs. And he has a hard time trying to find kids to work. You know, he was doing a job the other day, and you know, he's paying the kid $50 an hour. That's pretty good wages. And the kid, they work in the concrete, and the kid goes, hey, can I go take my lunch break? And my brother looked at him and said, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, go ask that concrete not to set while you go take your lunch break and then go back. You know, he didn't realize, like, no, you can't go take your lunch break. I mean, this is, you know, we got to get it finished before it gets set. But he said, you know, it's just so hard to find work. Good workers. There's plenty of work out there. There's plenty of jobs out there. It's just a matter of wanting. And in Matthew 5, verse 16, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So everything we do, especially our jobs, we've got to let our light shine. They've got to see God working in us. And, you know, like we said, you know, like said, you know, a lot of times we might be the only Bible a person reads. So even in those tough jobs, jobs that we don't like, okay, we've got to let our light shine. Any comments? Yes, ma'am.
I think, like, the older I get, the more I push myself doing it and see other people doing it. But, like, sometimes I'm just not in a good mood for work, and I'm just not in a good mood. And if I catch myself, I try to think, I need to have a better attitude. If I have a better attitude, everyone else around me works better. It makes everybody's day a little bit easier and a little bit better. I think, you know, sometimes we think we have this big, grandiose thing.
You bring it up, attitude. Again, I apologize because I use so many quotes when I'm coaching my kids. And when it comes to attitude, you know, I tell them, you know, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't get anywhere until you change it. And so I use, I see she's writing that down. Okay. All right. But, you know, that a lot of those things, they hit home, you know. Another one I use, if it's not challenging you, it's not changing you. And it's funny, I had a girl that she put that on her graduation announcement. She goes, Coach, look what I did. And I was like, okay, I got that across, you know. But I read the other day that, you know, if we're not changing, we're choosing. And, you know, again, at our jobs, a lot of times, you know, maybe it's us that need to change and not the job. When you're hired to do a job, you're hired to do that job, regardless of what, you know, if I have to do insulation or I have to paint, I will. But, you know, like I said, I don't like to paint. But I did buy me a nice big spray painter so I can get it done, you know, work smarter, not harder. So, you know, that's kind of what I do. Now, insulation, yeah, I guess you can blow that in there too. But anyways, I don't like doing that. So Brother Leon. My track kids always say, "Coach, how come you're always telling jokes or you're laughing out here on track and everything?" I try to make it as fun as possible because there's not, you know, if you're a distance kid, our distance kids will run 16, 400s in a practice. There's nothing fun about that, you know, especially with a minute rest in between. But I cut all these jokes and try to make everything funny to get their mind off of the pain that I'm putting them through. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people whistle or whatever do when they're working, trying to get through the day or whatever. Josh.
So we mentioned like being faithful or consistent in the little things. Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." And I was gonna bring up Colossians 3:23, but Leon did it for me. When you consider those two verses, I think that's what sets us apart from every other worker. It's we're soulful. And what does that mean? We're soulful. We heartily work. Well, we worry about the little, not worry. We consider the little things. We are consistent. I think to my projects at school, I think to my projects at work right now, it's like it's quote unquote easy to worry and work on the big things that everyone can do. But the little things is what sets apart a good worker from an alright worker.
Yes, correct. Yes, ma'am.
Something else that reminded me of Ecclesiastes 3:22.
when we I don't know if it's when we first went to work in Colorado, we met a lady and she was so bubbly and a hard worker and all that, and we went home and I told Sherry, I said, I bet she's a member of the church. Guess what? She's a member of the church. You know, so that attitude and that work habit, all right, she definitely let her light shine. Yes, sir.
Speaking of attitude, our attitudes can actually help save souls. You look at, I believe it's Acts 16, Paul, Silas, with the jailer. Now, it wasn't what they were seeing that convinced the jailer to try their God. It was their attitude that they didn't run away, they didn't try to act as convicts. They were locked in jail, being deemed wrong. They were being wrong. They were singing.
Singing. Yeah.
Christians.
Right.
Who has that type of attitude of being treated wrongly? So their attitude, what can I do to have that? What God did you serve? So your attitude, no matter what environment you're in, people are watching. They're noticing. Right. They're going to want to know how did you get like that? That's what you invited.
Correct. Josh.
In the context of providing for our families, I think, I guess going back to my statement of, well, with attitude and with working heartily and being consistent in the little things, I think of the topic of hypocrisy. A lot of times children will see through a parent's hypocrisy if they're not consistent. So it's even more, I mean, and if you're going to train your children, it's good to show them consistency in the scriptures, in your study, in your actions, so that they have someone to rely on and they have a guide, an example as they grow up.
And I think I had a young man that used foul language quite a bit, and we got home from a bus trip, and I had him outside the door against the bus, and I was really chewing him out and letting him know what his punishment was to be. And his mom drove up and said, "What's the issue?" And I said, "Well, it's foul language, all that." And she slapped him and said, "Get in the vehicle." And on the way to the vehicle, he says, "Mom, that's the way you talk all the time." So you've got to be careful of the example we're setting. I'm looking at that clock, so I need to try to get through with this. All right, the next word I want to look at is provide. Okay, provide meaning make available for use or supply. To supply or make available, meaning something needed, or to make preparation to meet a need. Okay, and that need, you know, when I talked about earlier, is it moral to provide or to work for your family? And, you know, a lot of us, our first need is our family. Okay? And all our families have needs. Okay? Maybe it's you're going to be your first child. Okay? Maybe it's going to be your third child. You got to think of, man, I need to add on another bedroom. Or we need to get another vehicle. Okay? But in 1 Timothy 5:8, it reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's pretty tough. So we're to provide for our family as leaders or men of our household. You know, we're to provide for our family. When you decide to get married and have kids, it's your job to provide for them. You know, it's not grandparents. You know, it's not their job to raise your child. Okay? It's our job. We brought that child in the world. We need to raise that child. And, you know, I look at, you know, a lot of things that I lost my train of thought. I do that at times. Let's look at Proverbs 3:9. Sorry. It says to honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and et cetera, et cetera. So, as we're working and we're providing for our families, okay, and we're being blessed with a new house or new vehicles and all that stuff, whatever it may be, that's from God. And we need to give Him the honor for what He's provided us with. And we need to be always thankful for what He's blessed us with. So it is moral to work hard and provide your family. Yes, yes, and yes. I am finished, and I appreciate all your comments. Thank you very much.